All right. We are in the Chovetz HaLevavos, Shaar HaBitachon. We've spoken about what Bitachon is, this feeling of Menuchas HaNefesh. Somebody who has Bitachon is able to fully rely on the one who he has Bitachon in. We spoke about a couple of prerequisites, I guess you could say, prereqs, things that you need to kind of have down, things you need to believe and be able to have confidence in order to really have, to be a Baal Bitachon. So things like, we gave the analogy, I think the helpful analogy of if you're going to fall out of a tree, and you have a group of people who are going to catch you, what types of things do you need? Would you want to know about the group? Would you want to have seen from that group previously? They need to have the power to actually catch you, they need to be paying attention to you and know that you need to be caught, all those different types of things. Those are obviously necessary in the same way for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we're going to put our bitachon in Hashem, we have to believe that he knows what's best for us. We have to believe that he cares enough to help us. We have to believe that he's the all-powerful one. Nobody can stop him from doing what he's decided to do. All these different things, we went through the list over the past couple of weeks. So now, we ended off last week with a pretty surprising statement. The last thing we said was that Hashem chooses to use the system of Ishtadlus for two reasons. Right? There are two reasons why Hashem wants at least humans to go through natural causes in order to get the things that they need, in order to receive parnasa. You need to get a job, you need to work, you need to do that stuff to put food on the table. Reason number one was to lenasos es ha'adam. Reason number one was to test us, to test people, so that to take our potential of avodas Hashem and bring it into reality, to say that even if we could commit to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when things are tough, it means a lot more when we're forced to actually do it. And when we're put to the test and we're able to pull through, that means a lot more than just theoretically having it in potential. Famous Ramban by the Akedah. The Malbim talks about this by the Akedah, I think also, that there are three possible reasons that Hashem would give a person a test. And I think the main one they talk about in that context is to take something, minakoach lapoal, I have the potential for something, but Hashem wants to see it actualized. And obviously when you're actualizing it, there's a chance it's not going to make it. There's a chance you're going to fail the test, but at least you have the capacity and Hashem wants to see it happen for real. So that's one reason. Tama Shani is, we mentioned from Pirkei Avos, what we said that Yafa Tama Torah im derech eretz shehigias shenehem mishkachas avon, that if we just had our entire days kind of open for us and we didn't have things that we knew that we needed to be doing, it would be way too much of a draw towards sin, towards avera, towards taiva, even just wasting our time. Gemara in Ksubis says batala maybe lidei shiamum. And Znos, all sorts of bad things. We don't want. Retorsky spoke about spoke about boredom and Shalitas Hazman. There's a lot of negative things that come out of having too much time on your hands. So Hashem set up a system where we're using our time productively, whether it's for direct avodas Hashem, and if not for direct avodas Hashem, at least for Parnasa, it kind of fills our days to make sure that we're being productive, as opposed to getting stuck with empty hands. And as we know, empty hands are the work of the devil, I think, as the phrase goes. So the last thing we said was a person who can prove that neither of those two reasons apply to him, somebody who can say, Hashem, even if you give me kol hanos olam hazeh, you give me the richness of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, and even so, I'm going to be able to say, like Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi did when he died, he raised his 10 fingers towards Shemayim and says, Lo nehanesi mi'olam hazeh klum, right? I didn't get any hana from olam hazeh. I'm able to do that as well. I can pass those tests. That's number one. And number two, even if I do have time, I'm not going to waste it. I'm not going to use it for sin. I'm going to dedicate it towards Avodas Hashem. A person who can actually make both of those claims, then Hashem will take away tirchas haparnasa. And Hashem says, there's no need for me to waste your time, in a certain sense, having to go through these motions, and you will not, I'll just give you whatever you need. He quotes a pasuk, Kohelet says, no, Nimtza Eifo. Yeah, Mishle Yud Gimel, Lo Yariv Hashem, Nefesh Tzadik, a tzadik, somebody who shows that neither of these two reasons applies to him, Hashem will say, okay, fine, so I don't need to put you through the tircha of Parnasa, I'll give it to you straight, I'll give you your Parnasa easy without having to work for it. which sounds gishmak. The problem is, and Chovas HaLevavos is aware of this, he says that it's not reality, right? We can look around, we look around the world, and we see a lot of people. On the one hand, people who are tzaddikim yet have to work incredibly hard for their parnasa. Now, on the other hand, Rishayim, who are definitely not passing these tests with flying colors, people who are definitely not using their time in the best possible way, yet still they have a parnasa which is let's say an easy or readily available parnasa. They don't have to do much work for it. So, what's the system? What does it sound very similar to? What I guess famous question.
Tzadik v'ra'alo,
Rush of a Tovlo. It's not exactly the same, right? It's not the identical question, but you can see why it's very, very much parallel. If the whole point of Parnassa, of having to go do the Shtadlis to get Parnassa, is for these two reasons, it doesn't seem to match up with reality. So, Baal Chovas HaLevavos tries to address both points. He says, first of all, a little bit of a disclaimer. He says that we never refer, Nevi'im asked this question. This is the classic question. We're not the first people to recognize this. Nevi'im asked this question. He quotes from Malachi. He quotes from Habakkuk. He quotes from Tehillim. All Yirmiyahu. Everyone's asking this question. Why is it that Tzaddikim have such a hard time supporting themselves, whereas Rishayim have it so easy? And they don't answer the question. He says, and the Nevi'im don't really give us answers. And he says, it's because there is no one answer. And every single individual's circumstances are going to define how Hashem interacts with them. And each person has a different peckle. Each person is dealing with something different. And therefore, we're not going to have one answer. However, he's not copping out. He says, I'm going to try to draw broad strokes and give a couple of approaches as to why this might happen. A lot of these answers are very similar to the question of Tzadik v'ra'alo, Rush of a Tovlo, theodicy, the highfalutin English word for that question. There again, it's not an identical question, but it's very, very similar. So he says, first of all, to try to deal with tzaddik v'ra'alo, what are some reasons why Hashem might make it hard for a tzaddik to get his parnasa when, according to the rules that we gave out, the two ideas as to what the point of Shabbos is in the first place, it really shouldn't be necessary. So number one, punishment for averos, right? Even if strictly in terms of parnasa, a tzaddik should have it easy, Hashem has more cheshbonos on his mind, and if a tzaddik can have his cheshbon paid up, his account paid up. In Olam Hazeh, that's definitely better for him here than it would be in Olam Haba, so Hashem takes care of problems here. Punishment for Averus. Probably the most classic answer to Russia, to Tzadik Rando and Rush of Atovlo. He applies to this question as well. Number two, maybe it's going to get this Tzadik extra schar in Olam Haba. The Gemara in Brachos calls this Yisurin Shel Ahava. Now, we generally don't connect Yisurin and Ava, but if Hashem really has this beautiful relationship with somebody, he wants to give him extra schar, extra closeness, so he'll give him Yisurim. That's a big sugya unto itself. What's the deal with that? It doesn't sound so great, but not for now. That's reason number two. Reason number three I thought was fascinating, that Hashem might want to set up this tzaddik as a role model for other people. It's possible to serve Hashem b'simcha, even when things are difficult, even when life is not easy. So in Echinami, the tzaddik on his own really should get a parnasa shelo b'tzar, but Hashem wants to use this tzaddik to show the rest of the world that you should still be an obed Hashem b'simcha, even if it's not so pashut. And he connects it to one of the famous characters in Tanakh we've spoken about a couple of times. This was Eov. According to the Baal Chovas HaLevavos, this is pshat in what happened to Eov. We spoke about the story at the very beginning of the Sefer with the Satan, right? The Hashem was having a conference with all the Malachim. The Satan shows up. I don't know if he was invited or not invited. The Satan shows up to the conference, and Hashem says, "Hey, Satan, have you seen my friend Eov?" And Satan says, "Yeah, but like, let's be honest, he has an easy life. It's not so hard for him to be an Eved Hashem." Hashem says, "I'll take you up on that. Hey, it was a little bit of like a shtach." So Hashem says, you know what, take away whatever you want to take away, he'll still be an Eved Hashem. And the Satan tries, Eov gets through round one, there's a round two, Eov gets to give him these crazy body sores, and this hurts his entire body, and that's where Eov really starts having trouble. So the Hashem's goal in setting up that kind of competition between the Satan and Eov, even though Eov wasn't really aware, was to show the rest of the world that you can undergo Yisurin, but still serve Hashem b'simcha. Now, Eov had some trouble with it. At the end of the story, at the end of the Sefer, he does come out on top, but that was definitely a difficult struggle. That's Shad Eov, according to Baal Chovas HaLevavos. I think just a question, is that fair? Right? Is that, we know that Hashem is a Dayan Emes or Dayan Tzedek. Is it really fair for Hashem to do that? What do you guys think?
Um, I mean, in the next world, he'll Mustama get paid back. Meaning, yeah, now it's similar to the other question about. I mean, similar to Yisrael Shalava, I think would be the same answer.
Right, it's going to get you extra schar. No, it's not like it's for nothing. You're going to end up getting paid back for it.
I mean, the whole assumption of the question. I mean, it could be that like that's what life's about, but life might not be exactly about like yourself. Meaning,
keep going.
Yeah, Hashem is a fair God, and I guess you still have to deal with that. But the focus isn't about our schar v'onesh; it's about something else, and it's about recognizing Hashem, and not just for yourself, for the whole world. So if the whole world recognizes Hashem, so you're definitely doing much better than just you yourself personally serving God.
Beautiful. Okay, so we're going to run with that for a little bit. Judah, I think you're the only one who knows about this, but I recently put out, I've been working on a psychology thesis to actually be able to graduate YU, and the study that I'm doing involved a survey of guys who are post-yeshiva, post-Shana Ba'aretz program, asking a bunch of questions. Judah was there somewhere. I don't know what answers you gave. This is hopefully, presumably not your answer, but I guess theoretically could be. So as part of that survey, one of the questions I asked was, how do you think your attitude has developed from the time that you left yeshiva in Israel to where you are now? And these are guys who are entering anywhere from like a few months out of Israel to 3-4 years out of Israel. There was one answer, a lot of interesting answers, but one of them that stuck out, one guy said, I feel like I'm more or less in the same place. In terms of religiosity, in terms of commitment and everything. However, one thing that I've noticed is he called it a backslide. I've changed my perspective from what it used to be when I was in Eretz Yisrael. When I was in Israel, I was developing the perspective of a klali or a community type of perspective that I'm one aspect or I'm one part of a bigger whole. I've been in America for so long, it's been a couple of years now, and I've started sliding back into that more egocentric or more self-centered perspective that everything kind of revolves around things that are good for me. An awesome nafkamina, if you ever hear Israelis sing Vizakeinu, in America it's Vizakeini. Right, Vizakeinu legad el banim uvnei banim. Israelis will sing it as Vizakeinu. Americans sing it as Vizakeini. I don't know what the actual text is. If you look in the benchers, said by Halakas Neiros, I don't know what the actual thing is, but it's based on this perspective. I think it's clear in the different mentalities, America versus Israel, maybe even Chutz La'aretz versus Eretz Israel, and it's reflected very nicely, I think, in those two girsos in the song. So this might be part of the question of, is this fair? Is it just for Hashem to take one tzaddik and say, I'm going to give you a terrible life or a tough life just so you can be a role model for the rest of the world? The question of fairness, either it's not shaykh, it doesn't apply. Like Hashem could say, I think Judah was saying this also, that your tafket is not to have an easy life and serve Hashem. Your tafket is to be the role model. And therefore the whole fair question kind of just falls away. This is why I put you in the world. This is your mission card if anybody plays Risk. So that's one answer. But I think even a better answer might just be, you have to expand your perspective, right? That no man is an island. You're not supposed to live on your own. We're meant to, and we're meant to interact with the rest of the world. We're meant to impact the rest of the world and see ourselves as part of a broader community. So this tzaddik, who Hashem is giving a tough life to, the same way nobody would have any tainos. Maybe you wouldn't have any tainos if with a schar idea, either schar nolam haba or taking care of your account here in olam hazeh, because you understand how that's helping you personally. If you expand your mentality a little bit and allow it to include the rest of the community, then acting as a role model is just as fair, is just as just, because you're not impacting, your life is not just about you, it's about you in relation to everybody else around you. So serving as a role model is very much a kiyum of taking care of your own life, because you're part of that community. So perspective number three, why would Hashem give a tzaddik a tough life in terms of parnasa? Maybe he's role modeling for other people that you can still be an eved Hashem b'simcha, even mitoch tzar. Reason number four, to highlight tziduk hadin. When we get tzchar b'zman ha-mashiach or lasad lavo, Hashem is going to point, well, there's going to be a line of complaints. Everyone's going to come to Hashem saying this isn't fair. This guy has a huge bira. He has a huge mansion in Olam Haba. And I have like a little two-story hut, split level. Game of life. So what's pshat? We both learned for the same amount of time in yeshiva, and we were both kaveitim. We both went to minyan. Why is this so much better? And Hashem is going to be able to say, like, look, you were visited by Tsar and you didn't deal with it so well. And other people who were visited by Tsar who had a tough life were able to deal with it much better. Therefore, you had the same kochos and nefesh they did. You just dealt with this, who dealt with it so much worse. It's going to be a way for Hashem to be able to justify or illustrate the justification of the different levels, I guess, in Olam Haba. There's an incredible, incredible agadata in the beginning of Avodah Zarah, which I think highlights this point also. We could probably read, we're not going to be able to read through it, but it's really worth seeing. Let's see if I can share screen for a little bit. We'll jump around, I think. You guys able to see it? Give me a thumbs up. Yeah. Okay. So Darsh Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa V'Yitem Reb Simlai Lasid Lavo Mevi Hakadosh Baruch Hu Sefer Torah U'Manicho B'Cheiko V'Yomer L'Misha Asak Ba Yavo V'Tol Sfaro. This is Bizman Mashiach. Hashem is going to take it. There's a lot of fascinating points in this Agadata we're not going to be able to talk about. Hashem is going to take a Sefer Torah, put it in his lap, and say, anybody who is Osik B'Torah, come and get Schar. What happens? You'd expect like all the Jews come running to the front of the line, pushing and shoving to get their Schar. Miyad Miskabtin Uvain Ovde Kochavim Beir. Who are the first people to get there? The Gayim. Oh, Kol Mi Shosik Batorah, that's us. They all get together, Bir Buvya. They're all mixed together. The Greeks and the Romans and the Persians, everyone pushing together to get to the front of this line. Kol Agayim Nikbetu Yachad. Amar HaMakadosh Baruch Hu, Al Tikan Tzu Lefanai Bir Buvya. Ela Tikanes Kol Uma V'Uma V'Sofreha. Don't come in a group. Everybody should come as part of their nation. Sukkim, skip that. Okay, good. So who comes first? Malchus Romi comes first. Malchus Romi comes Tchila. Why? Because they're the most chashuv. They control the whole world at some point. So what's their claim? Omrim Lefanov. Oh, sorry. Amar Lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Here we are. Amar Lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'may Asaktem. What were you guys osik in, right? So they say, oh man. B'may asaktem omrim lefanav ribono shel olam harbe shukim takninu harbe merchatzos asinu harbe kesef zav yirbinu v'kulam lo asinu el bishvil Yisrael kadesh yasku b'torah. Right, what a spin. We built marketplaces and we built bathhouses and we made a lot of money. Why? Pashut, just so that Jews could learn Torah. Amar lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu shotim shavo olam. No, you silly people. Komasha asitim l'tzarach atzmechem asisem. That's for you. Tikantim shukim. Rosh ben zonos. Right? What would you think the point of a shuk is? I don't know, to go grocery shopping, to buy stuff. No. Why did the Romans make shukim? So they could have places for their zonos. Okay, great. Merchatzos ladin ben atzmechem. You had bathhouses. You could take care of yourselves. The hot baths and the showers. Kesef is a hav shalihu. You made money. The money's mine. Liah kesef v'liah zav nu mashem tzavakos klum yesh b'chem magid zos. Was anybody osik b'torah? Zos haTorah shir samosha. Nobody was osik. And Rome leaves. They're depressed. They're sad. They walk away. Next comes Malchus Pras. The Persians come. They try their luck. Why did they try? Fine, because they're the next most chashuv. Hashem says v'maya saktem. They say, Harbe Gesharim Gasharnu, we built a lot of bridges. Harbe Krechem Kavashnu, we conquered a lot of cities. Harbe Milchamas Asinu, we fought a lot of wars. Why did we do that? Pashut Kulam Lo Asinu El Bishvil Yisrael Kadesh Yisasku B'Torah. Right, of course that was our Kavana. Amar Lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kol Mash Asisim Lotzor Chatzmachem Asisem. That's not true. They didn't call them Shotim, which is nice. What's the difference? I don't know. Well, all you did was for yourselves to count them gesharim, so you could take taxes. You conquered cities and towns. Lasos b'mangaria. I don't remember. Milchamos ani asisi, and I'm the one who made those wars. Hashem ish milchama. Nobody was osik b'torah, and the Persians leave also. The next nation comes. Everybody comes and gives it a shot. They try to convince HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they were osik b'torah, and Hashem pushes them all away. Then they all get together and they try again. Omrim lefanav ribono shel olam klum nasata lanu v'lo kibalnuha. If only you'd given us the Torah, we would have accepted it. It's not our fault. You never gave it to us. Mi matzi lemeimer hachi is that? What do you mean? Vaksi vayomer Hashem mi Sinai ba v'zerach mi seir lamo inyana dioma coming up to Shavuos uchsiv elokam iteman ba. Right, Hashem did go to every single nation. He said, "Do you want the Torah? What's inside? Not allowed to steal. Oh, we steal all the time. Okay, we're not going to take it. What's do you want the Torah? What's inside? Not allowed to kill. Oh, we kill all the time. V'chule v'chule. Right? So Hashem did offer the Torah to everybody until he came to Bnei Yisrael and they accepted. El hachi amri, klum ki bal nuha v'lo ki am nuha. So if you had given it to us, we never accepted it, and we're over on the Averos. The Alda Tavar Tahon, Amai Loki Bal Tua. That's not a good response. They should have accepted it. All right, so that one was specially also. El Kachom Lefanov, Ribonu Shalom Klum Kafisa Leinu Har Kegeges. The Jews didn't really want to accept the Torah either. You forced them into it. So if you had forced us into it, if you had held the Torah, held Har Sinai over us like a barrel, we would have accepted it at also. So that's a good response. That's a good taina. Right, Hashem? If you had forced us into accepting the Torah, we would have done it. So what does Hashem respond? Amar lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Harishonos Yishmu'unu. What are the Rishonos? What are the first round of mitzvos that the Goyim disregarded? The Sheva mitzvos, Shekibaltem, Hechan Kiyamtem. I gave you Sheva mitzvos B'nei Noach. You totally ignored them. And therefore, I knew there was no chance I would give you the rest of the Torah and you would actually keep them. And the Gemara proves that they weren't actually, they didn't keep the Sheva mitzvos B'nei Noach. Fascinating line. Ovik Ucham Vosik B'Torah, Shuka Kohen Gadol. That's really cool. But, so what's Pshat? Lom L'chashim Mekablim Schar. Okay. So the Goyim are still working on a good taina that they can give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Elakach Omrim Hovdek Ucham Lifin HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ribono Shel Olam. Yisrael Shekiblua, Hechon Kaimua. We know those Jews, they didn't always keep Torah mitzvos so strongly. So why are you giving them such schar? Blessed Lavo, Bizman Mashiach, and you're not giving us anything. Amr Lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what are you talking about? Ani Meid Behem Shekaimu Sa Torah Kula. I'll testify that they kept the entire Torah. Omer Mlevan of Ribono Shel Olam, Klum Yesh Av Shmeid Al Beno. You're not Roy Le'edos, you're a father, right? Dichtiv B'ni B'chori Yisrael. You can't testify for B'nai Yisrael. Hashem says, good point. Omer Lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shemayim Va'aretz Yehidu Behem Shekaimu Sa Torah. So I'm not going to be the aid. Shemayim Va'aretz will be the aidim. Omrim lefanav ribono shel olam shemayim v'aretz nogin be'edusan. They can't be edim either. They're no ge'a be'edus. Shenemar im lo brisi yomam v'layla chuko shemayim v'aretz lo samti. They know that if the Jews don't keep the Torah, you're going to destroy the world. So of course they're going to say that the Jews kept the Torah. Vayir vayiboker yom hashishi. Hashem made a t'nai with Maisa Bereishis. If the Jews are mekabel the Torah, then great. Otherwise, the entire world is destroyed. So what's pshat? Hello, Amar Lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mikem Yavou Yaidu Behen B'Yisrael Shekayim Vosetara Kula. I'm not a good aid. Shemayim V'Aretz are not good aidim. You know who the aidim are going to be? You guys are. The Akum, the Ovdei Kochavim, you'll be the aidim. Yavo Nimrod, and again, we're talking about the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, to prove that the Jews kept the Sheva Mitzvos, and that showed that they're right to keep the entire Torah. Yavo Nimrod, V'Yaid Ba'Avraham Shelo Avad Avodos Kochavim. Nimrod is going to testify that Avram did not give in. Avram did not worship Avodah Zarah. Yavo Lavan v'yayid b'Yaakov shlo nechshad al ha-gezel. Right, Yaakov worked for Lavan for 20 years and he didn't take anything that didn't belong to him. Tavo eshes potifera v'tayid b'Yosef shlo nechshad al ha-avera an gila arayos. Yavo nvuchanetzer v'yayid b'chanan yimishal v'azariah shlo ishtachav u'tzelem. Interesting why we need two things for Avodah Zarah, but Toso says that this is not real Avodah Zarah, it's quasi Avodah Zarah. Yavo dar yavesh v'yayid b'daniel shlo b'tel es ha-tfila. Seems like we're moving away from the Sheva Mitzvos right now. Yavo bildar ha-shuchit sofar na'amasi v'elifaza te'mani. Those were the three friends who were debating with Eov. Elio ben Barachel, he may not be in there, according to the Girsa. V'yayid b'habi Yisrael shekayim was kol ha-Torah kula. And they'll give edus that they kept not only Sheva Mitzvos, they kept the entire Torah. Shne'amar yiknu edeyam v'yitzdeku. Good. Amr lefanav ribono shel olam, tana lanu meirosh v'na asena. Give us a second chance. So Hashem has out-debated the Goyim. They need to be moded that he's right. But they say, Hashem, give us a second chance. Give us another shot. Amr lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shotim sheba olam, silly people. Misha tarach be'erev Shabbos, yochal b'Shabbos. Misha lo tarach be'erev Shabbos, mechen yochal b'Shabbos. If you don't put in the work on Erev Shabbos to prepare your food, what are you going to eat on Shabbos? It's a fascinating mashal for a bunch of goyim, but I guess they got it. Ela afal pikein, mitzvah kala yeshli v'sukah shema, l'chu v'asu osa. I have an easy mitzvah. I'll do you guys a favor. I have a simple, easy mitzvah of sukkah. Right? So go do the mitzvah of sukkah, and we'll see if you can pass that test. All right, so obviously we know that this is not a thing. There's no opportunities for mitzvahs in Olam Haba, in Las Lavo, but Hashem was giving them a break. Right? There we have a klal, in a Kadosh Baruch Hu babitrunya in Briyosav. Hashem doesn't mess over his creations. Okay, why is it a mitzvah kala? Because it doesn't cost any money. Okay, so what do the goyim say? They say, fantastic, this is great. Miyad kol echad v'yachad notel v'holech v'os sukkah b'rosh gago. They go and build a sukkah on top of their houses. They're going to be mekayim this one mitzvah, and they'll get schar lesed level. They'll join Mashiach. V'akadosh baruch hu makdir aleihem chama b'tkufas tamuz. Then Hashem pulls out all the stops. He makes it the hottest possible day in the entire year. V'kol echad v'yachad mevaed b'sukaso v'yotze. Every goy kicks his sukkah and he walks out. He goes back into his house. The goyim disconnected themselves from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They had one chance, one mitzvah, and they tossed it away. Then the Gemara says, wait a minute, we just said Hashem doesn't mess over his people. He was giving them this opportunity to earn, let's say, schar lasad lavo in Olam Haba. And now he's making it incredibly difficult for them. He's making it impossible. So he answered, Mishum de Yisrael Nami, Zimni de Mashcha Lehu Tkufas Tamuz Abchaga V'Havi Lehu Tzara. So this is why we brought this in. This idea of Hashem sets up this parallel between two different types of people and says, if A could pull it off, then B should have pulled it off also. Hashem says, Bnei Yisrael, they pulled off Sukkot even when it was hot outside. Sometimes it was very, very hot during Sukkot, obviously in Eretz Yisrael. Chicago, we've had snow on the ground during Sukkot, ridiculous. But in Eretz Yisrael, it can be very hot still. At the very end of the summer season, could be very, very hot in Sukkot. And we sat in the Sukkot, we dealt with it. So if we could deal with it, the Goyim should have been able to deal with it also if they really wanted to earn their schar. But wait a minute, according to the halacha, you don't need to stay in a sukkah if it's incredibly hot outside. So why is Hashem so upset, or why is Hashem saying that the goyim didn't earn their schar if they left when it was a hot day? They were in chayiv. The Gemara answers, there's an important klal, nihi de pater be'ute mi mivati. Einachinami, you're right. They were in chayiv in the mitzvah if it was incredibly hot. However, it was the wrong response to kick the sukkah. That was the psul. That was the problem. That was what they should not have done. Umiyad HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev U'Mesachek Alein. HaKadosh Baruch Hu laughs at them. Shneamar Yoshev Hashemayim Yitzchak. Hashem laughs at the Goyim. Amar Rav Yitzchak Ein Tzchok Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ela Oso Hayom Bilvad. Awesome. Awesome Agadata. Also incredibly long, but really a lot of fun to read. And we understand this idea, or one of the ideas that we said, as to why Hashem might give a tough life to a tzaddik to set up that parallel. If he could pull it off, you could pull it off also, the same way he said it with the Jews and the Goyim. Okay, one more idea. Maybe, why would Hashem give a tzaddik a tough life? Punishment for not protesting the sins of the community. That's not the same as punishment for his own sins, but it doesn't seem that much different. Okay, five reasons why a tzaddik might have a tough life. He goes through the Rishayim also. I think we'll fly through these. Why would a Rasha receive an easy parnasa? He talks about this also. Number one, schar for previous mitzvos. He might have a son who would deserve a good life or a lot of easy parnasa. Not everything that seems good is actually good. Osher can kill you. Too much stuff is bad for you. Everybody knows the famous story, I think, with the Lubavitcher Rebbe or every Hasidic Rebbe, the too much stuff question. Another possible reason, Hashem knows he'll eventually do tshuva. That's an interesting one. Schar for parents' mitzvos. Narayisi gamzakanti v'lorisi tzadik nazav. Vizaro mivakish lachem. Seems like Hashem will reward the children of tzadikim, even if they themselves don't deserve it. And finally, as a test for people, would they leave avodas Hashem and follow the Rishayim just because the Rishayim have it easy and the tzadikim are having a tough time? Or will they be able to stay stark, hold strong, even though things are tough? Okay, so five or six reasons why Hashem would give a tzaddik a tough parnasa, a rasha an easy parnasa. But the Chovos HaLevavos says, my klal still stands. In general, the reason for hishtadlus and having to put in the effort to get your own parnasa is for one of two reasons. Both the following two reasons. Number one, to lenasos ba mesa adam, to test a person and see, are you going to appreciate where this parnasa is coming from? And number two, to make sure that he's using his time productively and not getting distracted by, if he didn't have this time, the parnasa, yishtadlus, as something to fill his day with, he'd end up with averos. That would be bad. Okay, so then he moves into kind of a part two. Since this is the system that Hashem set up for you, this allows you to choose the means it seems like Hashem put in place for you, right? Anybody take the Iowa test when they were in high school? I don't know if that's just like a Midwest thing. Okay, the Iowa test is like, you take it at the same time as you're taking like other standardized tests. It basically, it gets a bunch of questions. What kind of things do you like to do? What are you good at? Things like that. And they at the end of the test, you get a recommendation of what should you do with your life. I think mine was like, I should be a parks and lawn manager, like the guy who rides on the lawnmower. And yeah, I don't know. They were pretty far off, I think, I hope. But the way I answered the questions, that was what they recommended for me. It give you a sense of like what your netios are. So obviously we're not going to just go fully based on those tests, but if a person knows himself and says, these are the things that I'm good at, these are the, we'll get to that in a second, then you don't need to force yourself to take a job which you feel totally not cut out for, because you feel that's the only way to make money. If Hashem runs the world and says, you're going to get the parnasa that you need because I'm taking care of it, that opens you up to saying, I'm going to do what I feel I'm mostly cut out for. I want to give an awesome, awesome example. The Chovas HaLevavos speaks out a little bit. But first, let's meet some things here. Who are these guys? Anybody know?
Sloths.
Wrong. These are the cutest animals known to man. Just look at these faces. Oh my God. Right here. Oh man. Look at that smile.
Look at those. They're all right.
What? Are you serious? They look like huge, live, fuzzy teddy bears.
I mean, like a baby bear would be like a bit cuter than.
Okay, in a chinami, they're probably pretty cute also, but they can also kill you. And Mistama sloth will not kill you. See, this guy, they're just hanging upside down all day. No, I think hands down. Oh, I'm sleeping. Okay, so what's the deal with sloths? Sloths are awesome. They're very cute. And they're so incredibly. Oh, cute. Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know what just happened. That was frustrating.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. So we're talking about sloths. So what's the deal with sloths? They're awesome. But here's some things that you should know about them. Number one, they spend 90% of their time hanging upside down. Why are they doing that? Because they're watching out for their main predator, birds. Now, that sounds like it would be uncomfortable, but it happens to be that all of their organs are attached to their rib cage. So none of their internal organs hang down in their lungs, and they can breathe normally even when they're hanging upside down. It seems like that would be tiring, but they have these huge hooked claws that lock them in place. So it doesn't take any muscle or energy to actually hang there. Even if they get killed, they're so well locked in place that hunters or big cats can't climb that high into trees to get them down. They have an extra vertebrae in their neck. It allows their neck to swivel 270 degrees, so they don't have to move their body at all. They can hang out looking towards the sky, but if they feel they need to look down, they can do that without moving. And everything about them is incredibly, incredibly slow. Therefore, they barely need any food. It can take one leaf 30 days to go through their digestive system. 30 days to digest one leaf. They barely need any food. If they ever do go on the ground, they move it about a foot a minute. Their pace is a foot a minute on the ground. They can slow their heart rate on demand, allowing them to stay underwater. They're relatively good swimmers. They can stay underwater for about 40 minutes because they can on demand slow their heart rate down, and they don't need to take extra breaths. Once a week, sloths will climb out of their tree, go to the bathroom, cover it with leaves, and climb back into a tree. Now, this seems ridiculous because it takes an incredible amount of energy, and it's also incredibly dangerous for the sloth because once they're on the ground, they have almost no way of protecting themselves, and any of like the big cats, the leopards and ocelots and cougars and things like that, love eating these guys. You can't really get them when they're up in the trees, but once they go down, they can. Why does it need to climb down just to go to the bathroom, cover it with leaves, and then climb back up? However, they've recently figured out that there are sloth moths. There are very specific species of moths which live in the fur of sloths, sloth moths. They only live in the sloth fur. These moths, when the sloths go down onto the ground, the moths will lay their eggs on the sloth poop. It's the only thing that they eat. So when those eggs hatch, or when those moths hatch, they have food ready to go. When they grow up, they fly right back up into the tree, and they nest in the same sloth, which basically allowed them to survive once they were born. So that sounds great for these sloth moths. But when these moths die, they're trapped in the sloth fur, and they decompose and release nitrogen. This nitrogen is consumed by very specific algae, which also lives in the fur of the sloth. It's part of what gives the sloth such incredible camouflage. And then the sloth will eat that algae if it needs extra nutrition. If it needs extra nutrition. So the sloth is incredibly well designed for everything that it needs. We're going to talk about how humans have the same type of design, I guess, next week.
Thank you.
I think we're about to get kicked out.